Bible, friends, is yet the Word of God, and we gladly offer to you a copy of God's Word here this morning in Nottingham City, yours freely to take and read for yourself, come to your own conclusions regarding the matter, but it is of much importance because it's a word concerning yourself personally from God. It is the means by which God speaks to men and women such as yourself in these days. The abiding Word of God, and the Word of God which has the ability that nothing else has, and that is to impart wisdom to you, the wisdom of God that leads to salvation through faith in God's Son, Jesus Christ. He is the one, I tell you, of whom the Bible speaks. From beginning to end, from start to finish, all the way through the golden thread that works its way from Genesis right through to Revelation, the person of God's Son, Jesus Christ, the one who is altogether lovely, the fairest of 10,000, the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valley, Jesus, the Son of God, the Savior of the world. You would like to read about Him and what He has to say to you, then please do feel free to come and take a copy of God's Word. Gladly place one into your hands. No cost and no obligation to you. I'm sure that you would agree with me that we live in a world of much uncertainty. There is not much in this world, in our journey through this world, that we can see that is really certain. But the Bible speaks of four things that are absolutely certain, that you can be totally sure of. Listen, will you please, to the Word of God. Bible says, and it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for Him shall He appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Four certainties, absolute certainties. But of course, in this world, in this life, there are many things. Even life itself is uncertain. Floods and fires, terror, wars, rumors of wars, earthquakes, criminals, a multitude of ways by which your life could come to an end even this day. Life itself is not certain, is not guaranteed. Your property, your homes, your families, your business, your health, your jobs, even your friends could walk out on you today. uncertainties abound. There is nothing much at all that is certain in this life, in this world, as we travel through it to an eternal destiny. And here is the thing, my friends, that you need to take heed of, that you need to consider seriously, and that is that you are on a journey, and it does not end with the end of your life, but rather it continues on into eternity forever and ever. In 50 million years, your soul will still be in existence. But of course, the age-old question is, where will it be in existence? So I bid you to take heed to these things that are most certain, of which the Bible brings to your attention this morning, even God Himself. The certainty of death. It is appointed unto men to die once. That's a certainty. It's a divine appointment, you see, inescapable. And there is marked on God's calendar, if I might speak as a man, you know. There is a mark on God's calendar, a decade, a year, a month, a week, a day, an hour even, a moment even, when you personally, each one of you, will breathe your last and go out of this world. It is appointed. It's a certainty. There is no staying it. There is no preventing it. You may not be ready. You may not be wanting death to take you out of the world, but friends, it will come to you, and perhaps maybe when you are least expecting it. I read of a lady in the newspaper just the other day. She professed herself to be a very arrogant person. She had it all, and she knew it all. That summed her up, you might say. But now, the poor thing, she has cancer. And she says, now, she says, it has utterly humiliated me. She says, now I'm just a woman who desperately wants to live. Friends, does that not put things in perspective? The certainty of death. Friends, it is appointed unto men once to die, all of us. And it's the great leveler. You may be a king, you may just be a street preacher, but everybody faces the grim reaper. Friends, it's the great leveler, the king of terrors. You might be a member of parliament, you know. You might be one of these people, you know, who are full of hubris, you know. You might be maybe perhaps a homeless person, I don't know. Maybe you're very well educated. Perhaps you go to university in Nottingham. Maybe you're one of these high flyers. Maybe you're one of these people who, they say, you have a great future. Great things are marked out for you, unless that is, of course, death intervenes. Your future is not certain. People may have your future marked out, and maybe you have your future marked out. You're going to do great things. You're going to travel the world. You're going to be this, that, or the other. Well, I do not wish that you should be disappointed, but please be aware that there is nothing uncertain in this world. That your future is not certain. Your future is not guaranteed. in a Baptist church in Texas in the United States of America yesterday, a 5-year-old child was shot to death. Doubtless his parents and grandparents thought that he had a great future ahead of him. Many, many days. Friends, there are many ways in which God can remove the fittest and the healthiest of us from this world in a nanosecond if he so chose to do. So please be aware, will you, that life itself is uncertain, but death is a certainty because it is appointed. It is appointed unto men once to die. And science, of course, science in which you put so much stock. Oh, science, you keep saying. We tell you that evolution is a lie. We tell you it's a load of nonsense given to you right out of the pit of hell to blind you to the reality of eternal things. God Himself, your sin, and of course, your own precious, precious soul. But you keep crying out against us. Science, 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 you say. As though science was some kind of fairy godmother that just has to wave her wand and bring a universe into being. With no reasonable, no rational, no intelligent justification to it whatsoever. But you put so much stock and hope in science. Science, 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 you say. But science cannot overcome death and never will. Oh, they'll find a cure for it one day, you say. No, they won't, because it's a divine appointment is death. It's the punishment of God upon a human race that has apostatized from God. The wages of sin is death. You see, friends, it's appointed of God. It is divinely appointed. And science, believe me, will not overcome, will not find a way around that divine appointment that God Himself has instituted and that God Himself brings upon each and every one of us. We will breathe our last and go out of this world because God has so appointed it. So a certainty, the number one certainty, the day of your death, the day when you will breathe your last, you say. A young woman asked the question a short while ago. She said, why do people have to die? Well, of course, your young people are not schooled. They're not educated anymore in these things. So they go about in ignorance and darkness. Little wonder that so many of them are committing suicide, taking their lives in hopelessness. Because you don't teach them the gospel anymore. You don't teach them the truth anymore. Well, I'll tell you, the answer to her question is because of one man. His name was Adam. He was the first man. He sinned and he brought sin into the world and brought death on his tail. And so now death comes to all men. Because that one man sinned. Because sin, you see, has passed on. It's inherent. It's your heritage from Adam. Passed it on to you. Each and every generation and each and every man, woman and child born into this world is born with the same disease, sin that leads to death. And so friends, in a world full of uncertainties, the one thing that you can be certain of is this, dear friends, the certainty of death. It is appointed for man once to die. And of course the Bible again and again and again makes this very point that all flesh is as the grass of the field. It withers and it dies. And what happens then is gathered up and it's thrown into the fire. Well, I do hope that that will not be your end. For the reason my colleague and I are here today preaching the gospel to you is that your end would not be the fire of hell, I mean, but that you might enter heaven, that you might be saved from the law of sin and death, that you might overcome by the blood of the Lamb, that through faith in Jesus, that you might escape eternal death. But over and over again, the Bible makes this point. Just like the grass, it grows up, flourishes, then it withers, then it fades, then it dies, then it's gathered up and it's thrown into the fire, good for nothing. And that's the life of a human being without God. That's the life of a person who lives a godless life. That's the end of a life lived for self. For friends, is that not the very essence of sin? Selfishness, self-gratification. I must have. Do you notice that the letter I is the central letter in the word sin? You live for self. You live for self-gratification. You live a godless life. You live without God. You live without hope in this world and in the world to come. Then that will be your end, just like the grass of the field. So be assured, friends, in a world of uncertainty, not sure whether you'll get your paycheck this week, not sure if your pension will fail, not sure if you'll be able to maintain your mortgage, not sure you'll be able to keep your job, not sure about anything, life itself, one certainty, death, for it is appointed unto men once to die. One thing that you can be absolutely sure of. But the second thing, the Bible tells us that we can be sure of is the inevitable and certain judgment of God. People say, well, when I'm dead, I'm dead. That's the end of it. Snuffed out, no more. No more pain, no more suffering. Friends, that's not the truth. That's not the truth, and you know it. You know it. You have that sense of accountability in you. In fact, God says in His Word that you know not only about the existence of God, but you know the righteous judgment of God. Dear friends, it is appointed for man once to die. After this, the judgment. Then you stand before God and you give account of all that you've done. Everything. In the same way, of course, by which you would have others to give account to you. Is it not true that you would like your members of parliament, with all the uncleanness, all the perversion, and all the fiddling and stealing going on amongst them, would you not like them to be accountable to you? I mean, they're supposed to be. Wouldn't you Wouldn't you have them to be accountable for their wrongdoing? I mean, when you read of some horrific crime committed against a fellow human being, do you not make judgment calls?
Evidence.
What?
What's your evidence?
I don't give evidence, sir.
What's your evidence for evolution is a lie?
The Bible.
Genesis.
The Bible.
The Bible.
The Bible. The Bible. The Bible. The Bible. It's the truth, sir.
How do you know?
It's the truth and nothing but the truth. God wrote it. God wrote it.
How do you know?
God wrote it.
How do you know?
Huh? Because God is. You know that God is just the same as I do.
How do you know?
Huh?
How do you know?
Because I know him.
Do you?
Yes.
You know what God?
Yes. God. Not a God.
So I guess
God.
Have...
God. There's only one, sir.
There's only one?
There's only one.
What about the one that you
know about?
I know about thousands of gods.
No, you don't. No, you don't. No, no. They're not gods. They're not gods.
Thousands.
They're not gods. They're idols. Idols. Idols, sir. Idols. Idols.
Okay.
Idolatrous religion.
Right.
Right.
Okay.
Next question. Next question. No evidence.
What's your evidence?
No, you don't need evidence.
You don't need evidence.
You don't need evidence.
Are you sure?
Sure.
How do you work that out?
Because God says you know that he is.
How do you know God said that?
Because he says it in his word. Send here. Send here.
Yeah, but that's been revised and reissued.
No, it hasn't.
No, it hasn't.
It's been translated many times.
Yeah. Okay, translated Japanese phrase.
That's a different thing.
Slightly different in
no,
a different
no,
language,
no, it doesn't.
It?
No, it doesn't.
But yeah, it does.
It's the same. It's the same.
Prove it.
It's the same.
Where's your evidence?
I don't. I told you, no evidence.
You don't need evidence.
You've got the Bible. You've got
well,
the Bible.
Yeah, but,
if you won't believe, if you won't believe the Bible, sir, you will not believe at all.
Right?
Yeah? Men want evidence that God exists. Yeah. If you will not believe the Bible, if you will not believe Moses and the prophets, you will not believe at all. You will not believe even though one were to return from the dead.
Yeah,
unbelief, friends. Unbelief. Capital crime offense against God. You know that God is. Every single one of you. God has shown it to you.
Has
made it?
It
plain to you. It's manifest in you. You have an innate knowledge of God.
Advertising at these good people.
You know what you say?
I said you're not interested in the debate. You're interested in.
Have you got a reasonable question? Have you got a question? Have you got a question?
Yeah, where's your evidence for evolution?
I told you, no questions. No, no, no evidence.
You've just asked me.
No evidence.
And you refuse to answer.
Yes, yes, I do.
It's typical theological bullshit. You've had thousands of years to prove your God, and you've still not done it.
You don't need proof, sir.
Well,
you know that God
you
is.
Need proof of everything.
Look around you. Look around you.
What?
Look around you.
Yeah, okay.
There's no proof for evolution.
What? There's no proof for evolution. Are you insane?
No, I'm not insane.
No, you genuinely, you're absolutely insane.
No. I'm
well, give
insane.
Us give us one justification for it.
You give me one.
Go on, give us one justification.
One justification for proof.
Give me what?
Vestigial tail.
That's a simple.
Laryngeal nerve.
It's a simple question.
Go on.
Well, where do you get? Tell me, where do you get? Where do you get the laws of nature from?
What do you mean, where do we get from? I don't know. I'm not a natural biologist.
You're not nothing.
No. You don't, that's a very Christian attitude to take, isn't it, sir?
You don't get.
That's a very Christian attitude.
You don't know anything.
No, I'm incredibly
anything
ignorant,
at all.
Hundreds of things.
Yeah.
But how am I to believe?
So how can you know? How can you know that there's not a God then?
No, the thing is, I don't know there isn't a God. I just don't believe your postulation that there is.
Okay.
Because how do you know there is?
Because God tells me.
Does he? So you
in his
speak
word.
To gods, do you?
Yes, yeah. No, God.
You speak to gods.
God. God.
Which
there's
one?
Only one.
Which
there's
one?
There's only one.
Which one?
There's only one.
Thousands of
the Creator.
One?
No, there's
which
not.
One?
One God, friends.
Which one?
The God and Father of my Lord
which
Jesus
God?
Christ.
Which one?
The triune God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Oh, you mean the triune
God who wrote the Bible. God who gave us the Bible.
Christ.
Who speaks to us through his word, the Bible. And who has made it plain to us, shown to us, that he is.
Evidence of your God.
There is no excuse. None whatsoever, says God. No excuse. Because of all the things that God has made, there is no excuse for not knowing that God is. Friends, it's not evidence that you need.
About 4.5 billion years ago.
Just move forward a bit, my dear. Sorry.
About 14 billion years.
It's not evidence that you need, friends. It is a white flag. Submission, surrender to God in faith through the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God.
Quote words from the Bible, but if I quote a line from Spider-Man, does that mean Spider-Man exists? Because you can quote the God and just go round in a fucking
That's rubbish.
Circle.
So circular argument is wrong. Why is it wrong?
I'm not against.
Why is it wrong?
Why is it wrong? It'd be like being against Robin Hood or Santa Claus,
so
wouldn't
why
it?
Why are you against us for believing in
it? I'm against this horrendous proselytization where you just stand here and scream at people and tell them that they're all going to hell and they're all going to die. Sorry?
Because that's where you're going, eh?
Yeah, if you want it.
Because that's where you're going, sir.
A massive waste
that's what
of
you
time,
need.
Isn't it?
Not, well, it's my time to waste, isn't it?
Yeah.
Huh? Repent and believe the gospel, son.
Believe which bit of the gospel?
So, all of it.
You guys all
believe
in slavery as well, then, right?
Yes, oh yes.
You think slavery?
Yes,
good?
Yes, I do.
In what respect?
Yes, I do. The biblical model.
The biblical model of slavery.
Yes, yes.
So piercing their ear with an awl and keeping them and stealing their children off them.
No.
Exodus 21.
I mean the biblical model of slavery.
So you think it's moral to own another person?
No.
Yes.
You think
yes,
it's moral to
yes,
own another
yes,
person?
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Right.
You're a slave.
Bye bye.
Honestly, we're all slaves. Yourself,
you're a slave to sin, sir. Repent and believe the gospel. Repent and believe the gospel, young man. Now, friends, the Bible makes it clear. God is every single one of us slaves to sin. No such thing as a free man. No such thing. Can you, come? No such thing as a free man, as a free woman, as born into this world. Slavery, people think, came to an end hundreds of years ago. Well, in the West, at least anyway, not so. Born into slavery, every single man, woman, and child, the slavery of sin, unless God, by His Son, Jesus Christ, sets you free from that slavery and brings you into the freedom of the sons of God. So like I was saying, the certainty of judgment, death is not the end. Science will not deliver you from it. Friends, God, one day, will bring you out of this world and bring you before Him in judgment. For it is appointed unto man once to die after this. Then comes the judgment. You stand before God and you give account for every thought, every intention, every motive, every word, every idle word, says Jesus. You give account for in that day. So you see, friends, the certainties, the uncertainty of life itself, the uncertainty of the things of this world, but two certainties, that of death itself, and of course, the inevitability of judgment afterwards. Sin is not dead, you know. Sin is not dead and gone when it's been committed. Oh, you see, I've forgotten about that. I know I shouldn't have done it. I know I shouldn't have said it, but, well, it's done. Brush it under the carpet. Forget about it. Move on, you see. But, friends, the day will come when your conscience will be awakened. The day will come, friends, when you'll stand before God in judgment and that sin will be brought back to mind. It's not gone away. The only way your sin can be taken away fully and finally is through the blood of God's Son, Jesus Christ. It's the only thing to do with your sin. Some people, of course, troubled by their conscience, they try to blot it out. They try to overcome it, you know, by drugs or alcohol, you know, any means whatsoever. Try and quieten the conscience. Only one thing to do with a guilty conscience. And that, my friends, of course, testifies with me today concerning the being of God. The very fact that you have a conscience testifies with me. But that conscience one day, I tell you, will rage and will rage throughout all eternity, lest you deal with your sin in the way that God would have you to deal with it. And that is through the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ, shed for sinners on the cross. But there's another certainty that I want to bring to your attention this afternoon, and that's the certainty of Christ's death. 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came into the world and lived and loved and died on a cross so that sinners could be forgiven. It's a historical fact that Jesus Christ died on that cross. Nothing, I tell you, in all history has been so microscopically examined as to the death and the resurrection of the Son of God. Historically proved, friends, the death of God's Son, Jesus Christ. An undeserved death, might I say. Not because He deserved to die, not because He had sinned, not because He had offended God, not because He had broken God's law, but because you have, because I have, because we all have. He was and is the spotless Lamb of God. And that's what qualified Him to go to the cross, to die in the place of sinners. He was there dying. The Son of God, loving and bleeding and dying for a world of lost and ruined sinners, that you might escape the inevitability of the judgment of God. For it is only those who believe, who trust in the death of God's Son, who will escape the judgment of God. No others. Your religion will not do that for you. Whether it be your world religions or whether it be your evolutionary religion. Religion just the same. No, friends. Only the atoning death of God's Son, Jesus Christ. And who did He die for? The Bible tells us. For sinners. For the ungodly. For those who are contrary to God in their nature and in their practice. Christ died for the ungodly. This is the gospel. That there is forgiveness with God. That you might escape the wrath to come. That you might escape the judgment of God. The certainties, the only certainties that you have in this world. The certainty of death and of judgment. Lest you believe and trust in the Son of God.
Jesus Christ came with grace.
What?
So Jesus Christ came with grace.
Yes, grace and truth, sir. That's right. You a believer, sir?
Yes.
You a believer?
Yes.
Yes, good. God bless you.
Yes, I said, whoever believes.
Hiya, how are you? How are you doing this?
Yes, that's friend. Right.
Yes, we're together.
Yep. Have a good day, sir. God bless you. So like you say, friends, it's the ungodly. It's unbelievers. You know, that Christ came to relieve you of your unbelief. He came to reveal, to manifest, you know, God to us. He was God manifest in the flesh. And therefore able to take the divine wrath upon Himself. And able able to take the punishment that was due to the likes of you and I, to set you free from the law of sin and death, the judgment of God. Then, of course, for those who trust in the death of God's Son, for those who trust in His shed blood, there is also the certainty of salvation. It's the certainty for those who believe in the Son of God, who trust not in their own righteousness, but trust in the righteousness of another. For your righteousness, God says, is like filthy rags, unacceptable to God. We have no righteousness of our own that would enable us to stand before a holy and righteous God. You need a righteousness from somewhere else, outside of you, someone else's. Even Jesus, who lived that perfect, righteous, holy life, and credited to those who believe on His name, those who trust in Him, in the Son of God, who loved sinners and gave Himself for them. Those, that is, who are trusting, day by day trusting and waiting for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. For He comes, and coming, the Bible says, with His holy angels in flaming fire to take vengeance upon all those who do not know God and who obey not the gospel. So you see, friends, so very important. Son of God is coming, and coming like a thief in the night. Who knows the time of His coming? Not revealed to us. But that day is coming, and coming soon. And He's coming to judge the world in righteousness. It will be by the man Christ Jesus that you will be judged. And so we bid you, in the face of these certainties, the only certainties that you're faced with, that you trust, that you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, in the complete salvation that He has attained for us, to make an end of sin, an end of your sin once and for all, trusting in Jesus, trusting in what He has done, trusting in His work and not yours, His goodness, not your perceived goodness, trusting in the Son of God who loved sinners and who died for them. Friends, in the midst of all the uncertainties and disappointments of life, place before you a sure and a steadfast hope, and not just for this world, but for the world to come, that through trusting, resting in, leaning upon someone else, and what that someone else has done, Jesus, trusting in His person and in His work, that's what leads to salvation. And that's what the Word of God is about. The way into that salvation, the pathway of repentance, faith towards the Son of God, turning from your wicked ways and forsaking your thoughts, your pattern of living that you've gotten into as a result of your unrighteous thinking, and getting back to the Word of God and thinking God's thoughts after Him, and beginning to align your life, your living, your pattern of living according to God's thoughts, revealed only in the Bible and nowhere else. Or you might say, I believe in God. Or like the man just a few moments ago, believes that there are many gods. Friends, nah, that will not do. You believe that there is one God, says the Bible? You do well. The devils, the demons believe that and tremble at the fact. Nah, that's not enough, friends. The God of the Bible, the God of Holy Scripture, the God who has given us His Word, the God who has revealed Himself to us, revealed His righteousness, is revealing His wrath, His displeasure against your sin and ungodliness. And the God who has revealed to us in His Word His righteous judgment that we all of us inevitably face, unless that is we escape the wrath to come. That is, unless we believe the gospel. Turn. Why will ye die, says the Lord? Surely as I live, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that they should live and live everlastingly. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Can be a certainty, an absolute certainty for you in a world of so much uncertainty. Death, for it is appointed unto men once to die. After this, the judgment. Death is a certainty. Judgment inevitable. But the death of Christ, the atoning death of Jesus Christ, blood shed for sinners that you might escape that second death, the lake of fire, and that you might know the certainty of God's salvation. Oh, that you would believe. Only believe, says Jesus. Trust in God. If thou canst believe, all things are possible to the one who believes. Believe, friends. Faith. Trust in what God has revealed to us. Certainty. Assurance, salvation through the Son of God who loved sinners, gave Himself for them. You'd like to have a copy of God's Word? Read about these things for yourself. Offer your copy of God's Word here this afternoon. Yours freely to take. Do with as you will. Word of God has the ability to make you wise for salvation, which is through faith in Christ Jesus, whom we declare to you. If you'd like a copy of God's Word, you come and ask for one. May God bless you. Have mercy upon your souls. Call, friends, upon the name of the Lord. You shall be saved. God bless you and have mercy upon your precious souls.